And welcome, 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 dear listeners. As I mentioned, or as I already welcomed, you two just before the short break. Now, since we are here on this first edition of this current week of the Business and Economic Zone, I'm going to take a little bit of a, well, I can't say left field. Left field is more an American term. Let me call it, you know, more a down the flank of the field. You know, if we have to think in football and in rugby terms, you know, you're running on the wing, down the flank, you know, just being out wide on the pitch. Now, for today's discussion, guys, it's all about, and here I'm actually inviting you, the listener out there, come through and share some of your insights. Because for the, well, last week's session, I had to break down various components that were assigned towards the fourth industrial revolution and the various impacts that the task force that head of state President Hakainkop had appointed in order to give him that readiness assessment and look at everything. But I'm going to extract one component out of that. But this component actually has to carry us through. And this has to look at Namibia going ahead. Namibia going ahead. Now, you can come through, guys, but I'm taking this from an education perspective for tonight. You can come through if you don't have the studio number. The studio number is 083-288-401. Once again, 083-288-401. Now, where we find ourselves is, this is my theme for tonight. What's the impact of education on an economy? Now, the benefits might be, they are pretty obvious. The benefits are pretty obvious that you can have higher skilled people or higher skilled citizens that can enter the labor market and also demand and provide more value. You see, the question out there is not just about value addition in terms of setting up a manufacturing sector or stuff like that. It's also that you can have people that can add more complex components or have researched and provided more complex insight into systems, processes, sectors, and thus also allowing the organization or wherever they have a form of employment from to add more value, to carry more weight, to bring more, you know, contributions into a more national economic sense. Now, if we're just going to work on the basic question of how an education and training affects an economy, we're going to start from this. If you're going to measure economic performance with regards to a country's education system, this is the departure point we've got to look at. So the question you might ask is, why do most workers with college degrees earn so much more than those without degrees? You might realize some of my literature is slightly induced with some American, perspective. However, it is exactly from that perspective because we have university degrees here that we've got to work from. Now, if you've got to understand how education and training interact with an economy, this can help explain why some workers, businesses, and economies flourish while others are faltering. I'm also not saying that we are faltering, even though there might be somewhat of a semblance or somewhat of a notion. I mean, we still have the industrial strike happening at Transnamib. Just in last month, the beginning of this month, it was the civil servants strike.
If we work from this year into last year, you had various industrial strikes. Now, these were all labor-related components or labor-related
grievances that many representatives from that sector had with regards to pay increases, as well as also some forms of remuneration or compensation or whatever it might be. But it was all about them being fairly compensated for the work they've done, the hours that they put in, and so forth. Now, in a sense, we've got this major drive, and I'm just talking about the perspective you and I are seeing out there in terms of family, friends, closer social circles, social networks, in terms of where people are actively seeking to be skilled up by going to one of Namibia's three universities or going to one of the smaller institutions to gain more
skills. Look, it's all about gaining more skills. It's all about gaining more skills. Let's identify that. It's all about gaining more skills. Now here's the other thing. And I'm gonna avoid the historic reference towards why Western Europe, North America, Japan, someone like China and also Australasia, especially New Zealand and Australia, are classified as the first world countries. Why they're classified as the developed world. I'm gonna stay away from their historical road that they had to walk, because their road, oh, minus China's, was about a 200-year, if you had to call it like a socio-economic project itself. I mean, if you had to understand that in Europe's sense, they were in like stagnation and constant military conflicts for something like 500 years continuously, until someone discovered, wow, we can build ships and sail to other continents and then thus go and colonize to gain access to raw materials that can be brought back. That's what the Spanish did, the Portuguese as well, and this led to, you know, the form or the word of colonization as we know it. But I'm asking you for tonight, let's compartmentalize that discussion. Let's compartmentalize the notion of, you know, having to compare apples with other apples. Let's work on the aspect of where we are right now. What's the most imminent need that can be measured towards, something like the important ingredients to getting towards a form of economic prosperity. The unfortunate thing is here, guys, if we had to stick or if we had to look at a way of gaining towards some sort of, you know, rather a sense of, you know, you upgrade the economic value that you've got in your country by having everyone in the country at least reached grade 12. And then at least half of that percentage has achieved university status or has at least seen a university campus. Now this comes through with one specific approach. This specific approach is a greater demand that we've got to look at. We've got to actually generate this demand. We really have to. And what do I mean by this in terms of generating or identifying or getting this greater demand or cultivating it or stimulating it? You can use it doesn't matter what descriptive word you want to apply. It's all about, you know, giving it a little bit of shock therapy. Let's see it kick up. Let's see it bounce up. Let's see it go. Now, what happens there is, imagine the scenario. If I had to take you now to a country, who can I choose as a template? Someone similar to Namibia's size. If I had to take you to a country where the basic services are provided for in an education sense. For example, you just have to enroll your child. The state or the school looks after the salaries of the teachers and so forth. There is one or other authority or body that looks after the infrastructure of a school or the school facilities. You know, it looks somewhat organized. Let me choose Scotland, but Scotland technically is not a country to me. I don't know to you, but Scotland to me technically is not a country because I consider the whole of the UK as one territory and not Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. So let's take Scotland. I can't take Wales because Wales, in a sense, is not resource rich like Namibia. It's not. But Scotland is, because Scotland has got, oil and gas deposits just there off its northern coast. And Scotland itself, although it has 2 million people more than us, Scotland itself has quite a well-educated population. A well-educated population. Now remember, the Industrial Revolution took place predominantly in England because of administrations then and how things were centered and stuff like that. But here's what we've got to look at. If we really want to inspire the rest of our country to get into the drive of let's all be educated, let's complete the basic level of education in terms of let's reach grade 12 as a goal, it has to come from the sense of, once again, pointing towards a central component.
Kukurukana yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke, rambangako uwera o HIV. Ayo kukupopera, tani kuirukana maokoko. Tokora sigara, ninkawa kurugana yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, dimo guanakuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero 0833 8588 2288. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now, when I mentioned the central component, now I'm putting a key emphasis, I'm putting emphasis on the central word itself, is that we've got to look at where our universities are concentrated. Yeah. Once again, I'm deviating or I'm floating or I'm drifting towards the Comas region and its unfair advantage over all the regions or all the other regions in our country. Look, guys, it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. My question out there is, if we wish to provide value, we've got to look at the basic building blocks of society that can help us generate a progressive in the sense of that people actually want to have more skills, achieve more skills, and that they can see that there are more prospects for them in the greater labor market. So I'm pointing towards all our three universities and most of the smaller private institutions are all concentrated in the city of Windhoek. This once again points us towards, we should not look or consider something like the fourth industrial revolution. Go and park that bus behind a mountain somewhere. Doesn't matter what mountain that is, just go and store it for now, because there are certain components we will have to achieve. There are certain things, certain basic building blocks, certain foundational issues we will first have to complete before we get to thinking of 4IR. First and foremost is a suggestion list or recommendation list. And I'm once again going to point and stem and link back to each region. Whether it comes through the governor's office, whether it comes through whoever, there should be a developmental body that works with every local authority in every region to make each region as attractive as possible, whether it be for investment or whether it be in terms of just improving the basic services for the inhabitants in a region. I say this because we're moving at a snail's pace. We are moving at a snail's pace. I'm not talking about go and build roads. In actual fact, a road is not an essential thing, because you can have gravel roads or the secondary road networks that are more extensive than the tar roads in our country. I'm talking about, first and foremost, if you want to show a region, for example, like Omaheke, you want to show 7 to 19 year olds, you can gain access to tertiary education, invite investors in the education industry to open up a university in Gobabis. Gobabis is the administrative capital of Omahake. Invite investors to go and invest in a university at Gobabis. You'll come and ask me and probably, you know, ridicule me slightly by saying, Dwight, are you being ridiculous? Everyone wants to live and stay and enjoy life in Windhoek. Yes, but Windhoek is going to reach its limits. That's what you don't realize. Windhoek is going to reach its limits. You cannot hedge everything in Windhoek. Windhoek has its own limitations as well, meaning services provisioned by the city of Windhoek itself. And you would hear from, if any of the executives had to talk to you about sustainability in terms of carrying capacity, in terms of population density, as well as also the rate at which Windhoek is expanding, they will tell you, those same executives will tell you, it doesn't take rocket science, those same guys will tell you, listen, whoa, we cannot expand exponentially. We cannot grow exponentially. It would be someone that's trying to fit into, let's say it's a 15-year-old trying to fit into a 10-year-old's shorts. You can't. You can't. Meaning the clothing is made for a 10-year-old. It's not made for a 15-year-old. It's not. Now, if you want to show people the opportunity that can be generated. I mean, guys, think about it. Why is it only that we've got VTCs that are dispersed all over the country? I say dispersed, but these VTCs are not converted either into like a, how do you put it? Sort of like private, like university courses, I mean, or technical colleges itself, made to look good, grand, and invite the local population or local community to come and study there. Now you've got to have UNAM and NAS to open up satellite campuses. The same also for IUM. Now this is already stressing their resources because they don't know whether or not, if they open up a satellite campus here or satellite campus over there, whether or not the people, inhabitants, residents of a specific town or region will actually say, hey, listen, I want to go study at that satellite campus. They don't know. They don't know because everyone will say, I want to come stay in Windhoek. Whether you're from the Zambezi region, you'll come and you'll tell your parents, if you're staying in Katima or in the surrounding settlements around Katima, you'll tell your parents, listen, I've applied to NASFAF. I want to go stay in Windhoek in one of the hostels or the hostel accommodations of one of the three big universities. That's what you will tell your parents. But you've never heard, if you go to South Africa, and I will always use South Africa as the best template and example for Namibia to follow. You will never hear South Africa, the University of Western Cape, having a satellite campus in the Free State, which is a province. You will never hear that. You will never hear the University of Free State having a satellite campus in the province, in Eastern Province. You will never hear that. Because they know they do not have to overstretch their facilities. They will probably have a distance, or they call it a correspond. They call it, for distance learning, they call it correspondence learning, but it's actually distance. I mean, you can't call a long distance relationship, a correspondence relationship. Even if you're in the same city, that is still corresponding with, you know, you still have some form of correspondence with the person you're in a relationship with. So if you are in distance learning, it's distance learning, not correspondence learning. But obviously they work for universities and they obviously have their own understanding as to why they call it correspondence learning. However, the only university in South Africa that does not abide by, you know, not staying in its limits, meaning the limits is not ensuring that they don't try and attract as much international or students from other parts of the country, from their country in South Africa, is the University of South Africa, UNISA. Look, guys, I'm not promoting. I'm giving you scenarios. Each province in South Africa has a university. Each province in South Africa alone generates interest to the population or the concentrated level of inhabitants of each province. The province of Northwest has the Northwest University, formerly known as Potchefstroom University, whose nickname is Pukka. You've got Pretoria that has the University of Pretoria. You have Wits, which is known as Witwatersrand. You have the University of Johannesburg, which was formerly known as the Rand Afrikaanse University. They changed from RAU to UJ. Now, there are three universities in the province of Gauteng, UNISA, Wits, and UJ. Pretoria only has the University of Pretoria. You go to KZN, you get Fort Hare and the University of KZN. Do you see where I'm going to? Each province has its own educational competitiveness. I'll stress it again. Each province has its own university or educational competitive nature. You see, guys, we are not going to achieve the fourth IR or the fourth industrial revolution. We are not going to achieve it if all our universities just want to be close or in the surrounding area of Windhoek. We are not going to achieve it. We're not going to see it. If we're going to see it, it's going to be as clear as day and night. What do I mean by that? Students at the private schools in Namibia, learners, because a student is someone on university. We're following the British standard. Learners at private schools in Namibia are probably like 7 or 10 years ahead in terms of educational standards compared to someone that's at a government school or a public school in our country. I'll stress it again. If you had to compare a private school and a public school, there is an obvious disconnect. A friend of mine that was at this private school here in Klein Windhoek, here in the capital, at St. Paul's, she indicated that her brother, who only had the basics of computing in his O-levels, right? In his O-levels. Now, your O-levels is a 13th year on top of the 12 years of basic schooling that you had to go to. In his O-levels, and this is through his schools, and obviously with the private schools, there is some form of, how can I put it? Some form of attention towards the skill levels that you, as a learner, can acquire. Homeboy, this guy, this brother, this younger brother of my friend, he got an exemption for his entire first year at the here at NUST. Formerly it was known as Polytech. He got an exemption. She told me this. I told her you are lying. She said he got an exemption because of his basic understanding of computing. And this is in the IT. This was in the IT department there at NUST. I'm giving you a real life anecdote, a real life example. Someone that was exempted from a private school in Namibia, exempted from first year, or at least majority of his subjects in his first year. That's a private school in Namibia. I'll give you another example. That other private school there in Kleine Cooper, on the opposite end. Sometimes people joke that it's known as Rehoboth North. I had to throw that joke in there. But that private school, Windhoek Gymnasium. 3 years back, Windhoek Gymnasium, not 3 years, 5 years back now. And this is probably only in the 7th or 8th year of Windhoek Gymnasium's existence. That school has made it a mandatory that students, learners at that school need to have a tablet to work with. A tablet. And you need to have internet connection at home as a parent. Now, this obviously means that certain living standards have been achieved. Now, I'm obviously showing to you the disconnect because back in 2020, with the height of the COVID pandemic and when government wanted to give the e-learning rollout scenario and laptops being touted left, right, and center, and internet connection by the various service providers to be extended towards the most needy in society and across the board for all government schools. Children at a specific private school in Namibia were already accustomed to learning via an electronic platform. Already, people. Now, before we head into the next ad break, just let you know, you can come through on or from 7 o'clock. And please, guys, let's not talk about opportunities, nor Namibia not being able to manufacture a toothpick. I still like that analogy. But still, let's see each other after this short break.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no Wushiwe Faguja, Omanjirorongo Oduratea Academic Year 2023, Ukapatruka, Enderinapa if you recall it paparoe, mo education, Ukarolong if you got it, Ufe or health and social science, Osho my fano, information and communication technology. O strategic management and leadership, na tai monika no tourism, o show hospitality and event management, business administration ikuterera, environmental studies and postgraduate studies at shota di monika. Wirere o tau monika ko website www.ium.edu.na. Ilo tarere po embiro da IUM tikuli po pepe. Mo venduka, mo nkure nguru, mo nkwe diva, no mo mpae, utadi monika. Wirero tu hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natunatu, oma waveri hamano, inda komesho, kufe toko roli rimonjira, toiko mbona kui waini rao, pamwena IUM.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
And we are back, just from that brief break right there. And I see the phone lines are flashing. Let's get the first call in. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing, Uncle Bona?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm slightly underslept, but yeah. I'm all right.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Mm.
Yeah, you are actually correct that the education reform in Namibia is something still urgent.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they just it was last month they just held their conference in transforming education in Namibia.
Mm.
And I think it's fine that for us, like the university that you talk about, you know, that's why sometimes I feel so much sad.
Mm.
Because those great friends of ours now, when they brought the apartheid system here, number one, that system was segregating the people in terms of education.
Mm.
Yeah? The blacks were given leftover.
Mm.
So the colored, you know, the white and things like that.
Mm.
And I think the first reform of education in 1990 really gave us access.
Yeah.
And those educational goals that you know them.
Almost like leveling it for everyone so that everyone has the same thing to work from.
At least.
Yeah.
That was it's something that we can all be proud of because the education now become inclusive, okay?
Mm.
And even the medium of instruction, we know, like most of it was Afrikaans.
Mm.
So and that transformation, that curriculum review, it's a process.
Mm.
And then we had another one, I think like before independence. Some of these things, they were not there.
Yeah.
No wonder why even the private school, even those who were a white school only, they still maintain the standard.
Mm.
Well, we were now coming from the scratch. You know, almost the whole, have to reform the whole thing. You know, it was very, very pathetic.
Mm.
No wonder why they did it deliberately to make sure that they create institutions. fire learning in South Africa. Because their children were going to South Africa. And only the few privileged ones who could go to South Africa. Well, our people were segregated or relegated to the background. But when we talk, people say, yes, the apartheid system was good. Was it good when it was discriminating our people?
Absolutely not.
So, now, the other thing that I also want to see is true. To some of those, when they were reforming now, raw primary and upper primary and all just junior and senior secondary schools and all these things. Of course, even when you look at the technical schools, the technical subjects were mostly taught in the previously white schools.
Yeah.
So now, even when you come to the funding, for example, no wonder why Madam Stenkam is saying, you guys, the private, the corporate companies and all these things, they must seriously do the put their money in these things. So, and again, I'm not going to talk too much. I'm just going to end up here. What I'm trying to say here is that we are actually in the process. So, and I pray, I'm very proud of our history. Not necessarily because we were think, because at least we were able to dig. Even when you don't talk about Europe.
I don't want to talk about Europe, Uncle Bona, because Europe is not close enough to Namibia for us to talk about.
I'm just talking about the damage that they have caused to our indigenous system.
Yeah.
Because now, even when you, because we had the schooling and the literacy, all these things were actually, they were first instituted in Africa. But now, so they actually came, like I said already, they really did it deliberately to make sure that they destroy our system of education. Okay? So that the science, the technologies, and the, even all those things, they borrowed them from here most. So what happened? I think they need to recompense us sometimes somehow.
Yeah.
You understand? To pay for the damage that they have caused. So how many people, even when you go into the industry, in those multinational companies and other things, there is still some kind of element of racial discrimination. So they have really done a great damage to us. So that's why they were talking about polytechnic, technical. The one that was technical here, you have the one for Komazdal, which was also technical, the way they teach you those technical N1, N-what. So it is true that let's see how we can all cooperate and make sure that we make our reform, our education more responsive to our needs. To reorient ourselves, the teaching and things. I have complaining here who are leading the teaching. The education and what? Enjoying in their class.
Yeah.
When they so let's make sure that the reform, because those private schools, they are also getting, they are subsidized by the government, isn't it?
I think so.
Last time I knew.
Uncle Bonnet was about, they had to take a percentage of children that automatically would not qualify, whether the parents could afford it or not, but they should have had like a scholarship program, you know, to take in students or learners from disadvantaged communities in our country, whether it be here in Windhoek or wherever. But I don't know if it still exists.
They are subsidized. Last time, I remember during the COVID, when the Minister of Education and things like that, really hammering on the parents and all this, and parents were complaining. They are subsidized. That's why they were given a moratel. They were given a what? That is that if you put your house in order, then you suspend the subsidy and things like that.
Oh, yes, I remember. It was 2020. Yeah, I remember. That was a 2020 story.
Remember?
Yeah.
Even the funding, it has not yet changed. The previously advantaged schools, they are still getting the same funding as a school in my village there. So there's no positive discrimination in terms of funding. So now you, how are you levering the How are you labeling it? It's very difficult.
Exactly, exactly.
So, I mean, it's okay, my brother. What we are saying is that let's see, because I've heard they have even introduced some institution that we did provide some kind of, what is it, relevant kind of program to the changing environment, political and social economic environment.
Mm.
Exactly. So let's end up here.
All right, Angabona. Thanks for coming through. Yeah.
Good. Professor.
Now, there's a key point there that was just made now in our short, sort of like an interaction there, was obviously there was still some room. Now, I'm going to factor this in. Education never can stand still. It can never stand still. That's the unfortunate thing. Education also cannot be stagnant in our country. But here is where we need to realize, or we need to factor in a reality component. A component in terms of seeing, things worked 5 years ago. But things do not seem to be working today. What do I mean by that? I don't want to call it the revision, but sort of like the latest education template that was rolled out just last year by the Ministry of Education, not higher education, the Ministry of Education. It created a lot of confusion. Now, the idea was that there would be an entire system that corresponds with each other. And if you guys can remember, I mentioned this even on, I think it's Friday night or Thursday or Wednesday night's discussion last week on the BEZ, was the universities in Namibia were somewhat caught off guard. Even though they knew, or they might have seen it somewhere in Namibian media, that this A-levels scenario would be introduced. But here's the key thing. Here's the key thing. And I, even though I just said it now, which might sound a little bit contradictory, but we have to look at a country like Finland. And I just mentioned to you now, we've got to look at a country like South Africa with regards to the university network. You see, the Oshikoto region needs to have its own university, not a satellite university of one of the big three in Windhoek. It should have its own university. The Zambezi region should have its own university. The Tukavango regions should have their own university. It's only, I think, the only issue that would spring up is Kunene, because I don't understand what Kunene probably could offer in terms of, like, you know, amenities and not amenities, but, you know, like services and stuff like that to house a university itself. But I know that a town like Tsumeb can house a university. Not Grootfontein. I've been through Grootfontein. I'm sorry for anyone that's from Grootfontein. I would not suggest a university in Grootfontein. But Tsumeb can have a university. Otjiwarongo should have a university. Okahanya should have a university. Gobabis the same. Look, guys, doesn't matter if we're just 2.5 million people, but each region should serve its developmental purpose. You see, you attract knowledge and skills to your region. And for the life of me, for 30 years, I still don't understand how this has not happened as yet. Namibia is 32, but still, how has this not happened as yet? Why? Why are we fixated on this central control mechanism? I gave you the example in terms of transport and the advantages in terms of that Windhoek and Commerce has or the rest of the country. Now, if you look at education, Windhoek and Commerce still have that dominant level. I know I'm a native of Windhoek. I've got more affinity to this city because I was born here, grew up most of my life in Windhoek. But here's the thing. If you realize that there's an imbalance in a system or in the natural order of a such scenario, it's bad. An imbalance is bad. An imbalance will not help anyone. It will not help anyone. It will not help anyone. I'm actually giving you my own sort of like a developmental plan that deviates greatly from anything that our government has laid in front of you. Anything that Namibia's media has communicated to you that comes from government even. We should not look even at, you know, trying to tap into agriculture or where. Sort out the education.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information.
Now, I want to get the next... Okay, I see that the line just stopped flashing, but I wanted to get the next caller in. But here's the thing. Here's another scenario. Here's another anecdote. And I still have a lot to go through. And bear with me, guys. For this week, we're just going to be talking about education because we've got to go through education. We've got to go through what education's benefits will be. Listen, guys. We can build all the sky castles or all the sand castles that we want to on a beach somewhere or in the clouds when you see the lovely fluffy whites hanging up above in the heavens. But here's the thing. For one or other time, we've got to be in the now. We've got to be in the reality. We've got to be in the reality. I mentioned to you, why are we not looking at investment into the higher education platform? Guys, do you know how that will boost a local economy? If you, for example, opened up a university in Swakopmund, not in Walvis Bay, because I think Walvis Bay has got like, the town limits or city limits issues. But if you opened up the university in Swakopmund, a university, that town would be thriving. It's got enough local industry there. It would be thriving. The same if you did it at Kietmanshoop. The same if you did it at Oshakati. You just have to put independent universities that are not affiliated to the big three in Windhoek in those towns. Two totally different entities with different names. You can call it the University of Oshakati. You can call it, I don't know what's a suburb in Kietmanshoop. I almost said Tseplagte, but it's not Tseplagte. But you can choose a suburb like what they did with Stellenbosch in South Africa, which is named after, the town is built around the university. The town is built around the university. The University of Western Cape stands, it's named after the province even. So why not say perhaps the University of Erongo, based in Swakopmund? Or the University of Omaheke, or Omaheke Technical College or University in Omaheke. The disconnect that happens, guys, is because for some reason we are looking at investments for the now. We're looking at investments for the now. We have an unemployment issue. There is a disconnect between how this unemployment needs to be tackled and how it needs to be helped on. The second thing is also, there is some fears out there with regards to education. Fears. You see, guys, what we don't realize is if you have universities in other regions of our country, those universities will inspire that we have more professors. It will actually aid Professor Anicia Peters' recommendation of research, of robust research and development. Because then they will know there would be a university for medical sciences, for example, at St. Oshakati. They would know that there would be a university in advanced agricultural technology in Kietmanshoop. They would know that there would be a university in marine sciences and ecosystems based at Swakopmund. They would know that there would be a university based on the humanities in Omaheke, at Gobabis. Each university, and a university has a specialization. Each university, they've got a core specialization. NUST, for example, their core fields, engineering, IT, and the business schools. The business schools come in third. But it's engineering, IT. If you go to UNAM, UNAM actually now reinvented themselves with that medical school. So they have a medical school. So they know they've got a medical school. They've got a robust law program where they produce lawyers, which means you now don't have to send your child anymore to South Africa to go and study law in South Africa. You might find an expanded sort of like menu to choose from, but you know that's law. Law in South Africa, if you obtain it there, you can apply it here. You can come and work back in Namibia. If you study in Namibia and you try to take your law degree that way, you might be frowned upon, but hey, you might have to skill up a little bit there or get some extra learning going, but still, you'll be well versed in the two platforms of law. That's why lawyers from South Africa can come and practice law here. I just don't know if the lawyers that studied here at UNAM can go and practice in South Africa. I just don't know. I don't know. The second thing is, we have IUM themselves that skilled up and specializes in the management sciences component. It's more business oriented, but it's management sciences. Now, here's the thing. You can take that further. You can take that further and you can allow investments in the education sector to flourish because we need to skill up people. Just last week, some of the concerns that one of you had, the callers, was who are the people that are going to work in this green hydrogen industry? You are right. You are hitting the nail on the head. You are right. Do you know why? I don't understand the basics of the engineering that is applied in that thing. I don't understand it. I can watch all the YouTube videos and read all the science articles out there regarding green hydrogen energy and green energy and hydrogen energy, the various formats of energy. I can read all that, but it still would not make me an energy or an electricity scientist. I would not be one. I would not. The second thing is also the oil discoveries. Now you have to get into the real nitty-gritty of the situation. The oil discoveries. Who is going to be appointed there? Just in terms of a basic little research I did, I tried to find out, you know, what kind of people are hired in the oil, pumping or the oil extraction industry. These are jobs that you don't find at mines. So that means anyone at a mine probably would not fit in easily in the oil extraction industry. And I was there thinking, okay, if we have a mining industry, that means people or employment, people that were studying and trying to get there would, you know, obviously would easily fit in to oil extraction. No, it's a major misunderstanding. First and foremost, one of the basic requirements sometimes where those oil fields are, where those oil finds are based, is that they will be on the sea. They will be there offshore. So you must have some sense of swimming, at least knowing Namibia, you know, swimming is not an activity we practice much, or knowing us Namibians, we don't practice swimming much. We don't. We're not Australia that produces Olympic medalists just for frolicking around in the pool. No, we don't. And that's a basic requirement for you, that you should be able to swim out there at sea if something happens. The what if scenario. Who are the people that are going to work in the newfound and newly established energy industry? Who are those people? Do we have to ship in South Africans for skills transfer? A lot of you would say no. No. It's our resources. It's for Namibians. But then what do we do if we have gaps in our education? What do we do? there's a artificial intelligence seminar I want to attend. I don't know how, but because it will be somewhat what do they call it? Remote, in terms of, you know, internet connection. You have to join through a Zoom link and all that kind of funny stuff. And for some reason, the UN thinks Africa just now has to work miracles, wave a wand. I think probably a lot of us are, it's expected of us to just magically make things happen, and all Africans need to be on par in terms of education levels, basic education levels, and then also tertiary education levels, on par with countries like Japan, countries like China, countries like the United States, countries like Germany and Russia, who have flourishing industrial complexes just around the IT industry. How? And unfortunately, I'm going to make reference to this. We can't even manufacture a toothpick.
I always like that. But still, really, we've got to be honest. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We've got to go look at ourselves in the mirrors. And I know I'm being a realist. I know I'm being a bit of a negative nanny. Or negative Nancy, sorry. A negative Nancy. Not, you know, disrespecting any Nancys out there. But I'm just pointing towards this. That's what they call that. That kind of an individual that just is a bit too negative. But we have to be realistic. We have to be realistic. You have to ask yourself the question. Why is it that the households in Namibia that can afford to send their children to go study in South Africa, why do they still persist? Why are they not internalizing and redirecting that investment that they're spending on their child at a NUST, at a UNAM, at a IUM? Why not? Why? 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 Ask those questions, guys. Those critical questions. Ask those questions. You see, we want to achieve a level of basic education. We want to achieve a level in terms of becoming industrial. But here's the biggest. There is no elephant, unfortunately. But here's the biggest thing. We have this centralization fixation. Everything is in Windhoek. Why? I gave you guys the example of the students that we met, and just in last week, the students that I met in 2020 who were unhappy. They studied something at UNAM, the marine resources, something that marine based field of study, but they were not getting employment. It's unique to Namibia, because in Namibia's environmental acts, or in the constitution, the environment is protected, whether it be in the sea, in the sky, or on the ground. The environment is protected. So we should have a flourishing industry in terms of professionals and experts that are assigned either to the Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Resources or to various fishing companies, who can generate data, who can observe global trends, global changes, global sea levels with regards how they impact marine resources. What do those students tell me? What do they tell us? Some of the fishing companies that operate here in Namibia bring in a Norwegian, an Icelandic, a Spaniard, a Frenchman, an Englishman, a German, an Italian. The person comes and does studies here, collects data, because the headquarters of the fishing company sits in Europe. They leave with that data, and you don't know what they collected. You don't know. You don't know. Now, it's one of the shameful things if I tell you how often I live on Google. Yeah, it's a basic human right, guys. Let's just accept it. But look what an American company like Google did. They created and invented a human right. You have the right to search for something without having to fly or to call or to send an email. You just open up your smartphone, you type in a word and you type in a phrase, it brings up your search results for you to read. Now that means
the basic education understanding also has to change, because if you have a smartphone and you can access information at the touch of a finger, as long as you've got a stable internet connection, obviously, that means our education has to change as well. I'm not saying that everyone must have a smartphone when you start in grade one. The basics need to be cemented first before you can scale things up. You can scale things up. Guys.
So, jy het gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effen seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now on that note, just before I end in terms of our discussion here for tonight, let me just leave you with this lasting thought. I'm still not done, guys, in terms of talking about education, because we will still be continuing with this tomorrow. And I will give you the benefits of what education does. I'll explain it. I'll lay it out to you. I'll give you the whole red carpet treatment for tomorrow evening. For tonight, we first had to get the basics out of the window, get the introduction in, and we fixate on the introduction because there are obviously things that are missing. They are missing. They are lacking. There's a deficiency. Deficiencies are bad. We know deficiencies are bad, but it's an obvious one. Now on that note, stay tuned for the rest of your programming here on your number one talk radio station. And we'll be seeing each other tomorrow once again. Same time, same place on the various platforms that you always find me on. On that note, arrivederci.